السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين ورحمة الله للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. Inshallah, we'll start reflection and discussion on another name and attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to add to our knowledge and our understanding of our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our life will become more fruitful life and more clear and more productive. Inshallah, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today is Al-Hakam. Al-Hakam. And we, as we always do, we talk about the language, the linguistic meaning of the name, and what it means when we say, when we describe Allah with such name, and what do we carry in this name, so we know how this name is reflected upon ourselves and how we deal with each other and things in this life. Al-Hakama is a noun. It is the piece, the mouthpiece of the horse. The mouthpiece of the horse that is put in the horse so you could control the horse from. I don't know what it means in English. If somebody would know, yeah. But we know it is that the piece of sometimes iron, sometimes metal, that you put inside the mouth of the rein is what you control with. Is that part of it as well? Okay. So now, that will give an impression. Okay, what is this hakama does? Hakama does is control and give direction to the horse would go a certain direction or another one and so forth. And when the name is said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-hakam, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who judges. Okay, who makes hukm. But also we know that this is a very wide subject, and we know that when it comes to us, the hukm has a lot of limitation. When we give a hukm, we give it when we have a lot of limitation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives a hukm, there is no limitation to His hukm. There is no condition to His hukm, and there is no one will stop the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of being executed. Okay? So when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-hakam, the one who gives judgment in something, when we give judgment, we are incapable of persecuting or implementing or executing the judgment that we make. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the judgment and executes the judgment, and absolutely nothing can stop or be in the way of the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second is when we make a hukm, a judgment, we make it according to what we know. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions that some of you might come to me to make judgment between them, and one will be eloquent, more eloquent than his brother. So I will give him the judgment, even though the judgment should not go to him. But the judgment will go to him because he's more eloquent than his brother. His brother could not represent his case. So know that if you are in the wrong, and I made judgment for you, Rasulullah Sallam said, you know that I cut for you a piece of hellfire. You know I cut for you a piece of hellfire. Okay? But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no ghaib with Allah. Al-ghaib is with us. The unseen and unmeasured with our senses is with us. But there is no ghaib with Allah. Allah created the ghaib. Okay, so Allah, the ghaib is not ghaib to Allah. So when the hukm of Allah comes, then the hukm is absolute, the correct hukm, and it is absolutely is going to be executed. Okay? So the knowledge that we have to make a hukm, the wisdom that we have to make a hukm, we are lacking that. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is al-azim, as we said last week. Allah al-azim, He is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the epitome of all the names and attributes. So therefore, He is al-hakam. And He is absolutely al-hakam, the one that makes a judgment and executes that judgment. Okay. Now, this judgment, we can make it or we can know it ahead of time. We would know that judgment ahead of time because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about it. Of course, in the hereafter, the judgment is clear and we know it. Okay? إِمَّا إِلَى جَنَّةٍ وَإِمَّا إِلَى نَارٍ. Either to paradise or to hellfire. That is the final judgment. Okay? And the judgment also could be in this life, and the execution of the judgment will be in this life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us, for example, okay, about the one that follows the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ. As far as the one that follows my guidance. Okay, so that is an action, a decision and an action that one would take. فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. So he will not go astray, nor he will have difficulties. So now, we know the judgment for the one who follows the guidance of Allah. This is the judgment, that he will not go astray, nor he will have a difficult time. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now tell us about the one who does not do so. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ. The one who stayed away from my dhikr, from my mentioning, my remembrance. So what will happen to him? فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. He will have ma'isha, that is a living, a life, meaning in this life, ضَنْكَ. So what is ضَنْكَ? The opposite of لَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. Okay? So that means يَضِلُّ وَيَشْقَى. The ma'ishatun ضَنْكَ then, it is يَضِلُّ وَيَشْقَى. Okay, the opposite of the of man ittaba'a hudaya, he will follow my guidance. Yadillu, he will go astray. Yashqa mean he will have a miserable time, a miserable life. Okay, so that is ma'ishatun danka. That is in this life. That is in this life. Wa nahshuruhu yawm al-qiyamati a'ma. And we will resurrect him at the day of judgment blind. رَبِّ لِمَا يَقُولُ رَبِّ لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَكُنْتُ بَصِيرًا وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. Allah, why? He will say, Allah, why did you resurrect me at this day blind and I was able to see? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the answer will be given to him. كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. And then my ayat came to you, so you forgot about it and you went away from it. So today you will be forgotten about, you will be the كَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. You will be forgotten about today. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tell us, indeed, the vision is not what goes blind. لا تعمل أبصار إنما تعمل قلوب التي في الصدور. The visions is not the one that goes blind. The hearts in the chest, that is what goes blind in this life. In this life, what goes blind is the heart. Okay. So, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us example. The biggest example in the Quran, the general example, okay, about mankind, that والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears, but by والطور, جبل الطور, the one in Sinai, the Jabal Tur, the one that Musa alayhi salam was in, was on and talked to Allah. First, watini was zaytun, by the fig and by the olive, meaning Bayt al-Maqdis, the area of Bayt al-Maqdis, okay, Masjid al-Aqsa, and then the place of the revelation that came to Musa alayhi salam, al-Tur, wa Tur Sinin, wa hadha al-balad al-amin, and that balad, this town, this qarya, that is amin, meaning Mecca, that is safe and tranquil. لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. We created man in the best of fashion, the best of ways. ثم رددناه لأسفل سافلين. And we came back and brought him back to become the lowest of the lowest, meaning he has that ability to be the lowest as well. Except, إلا الذين آمنوا, except those who believe وعملوا الصالحات and do the good deed, فإن لهم أجر غير ممنون. فلهم أجر غير ممنون. They have a reward that is goodly reward, nice reward. Okay. فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين. That isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is أحكم الحاكمين. He's the one, the best of those who make judgment. So Allah is al-hakam. So here is the story of man, that he was created the best of being, but he has the capability of being the worst. So there is a hukm for those who are the best and hukm for those who are the worst. And the one who's making hukm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is the most just, Allah is the most knowledgeable, Allah is the most wise, and Allah is the one who will give that hukm. And it is just, and it will be executed. Within this life, Allah tell us about ahkam that will happen. Okay. Results of certain actions, absolute hukm. As we were talking today in Jum'ah, how Allah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about a future things that will happen, or events that if it happens, there is a result and there is a hukm for it. There is a cause and effect right away. Okay. The hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. And the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. The hukm of Allah for those who commits sin in the open. Okay. So there will be those who will commit ما تظهر الفاحشة في قوم ويعلن بها. No fahisha will be open in the open with people, with a group of people, and they become ويعلن بها, they will advertise it, they will have it in the open. There's no problem, no shame. Okay. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يفشي فيهم الأوجاع والأسقام والأوجاع. الأسقام والأوجاع. Allah will make abundance in them. أسقام meaning diseases, والأوجاع and pains. التي لم تكن في أسلافهم. The one that was not for the people before them. Meaning the people before them did not experience it. And when we say this, when we hear this, and we see this of what's happening, you know, I said this once before. The in California, when the hukm, okay, the hukm of the judgment, okay, of the court system, okay, that turned the judgment or the law of same-sex marriage, okay. Okay, so they took away that law. So the homosexuals, and they were coming out in the streets, okay, with drums, okay, and they had them in the radio, and they were talking to them, and they were taking the drums, going to the places where the churches are. They were responsible to push this in the court system so it will prevail. And they were chanting one word over and over and over again. And what was the word they were chanting? Shame, shame. Shame on whom? Okay? See, this is you know, a live example of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that what they are doing now to them is not a shame. It's not shame. It is something those who say this is shame, they're shameful on them, or shame be upon them. That is a shame. Okay? So, أَعْلَنُ بِهَا, they will come out with it, except the hukm of Allah, that they will get diseases. That's what Allah says. They will get diseases that was not known before, was not known to the people before them. Okay? Diseases that are new to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave us as we said today, few more examples of those who the disobey Allah. They have a certain way, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them an effect and a hukm with that is clear, that is ahead of time. We know what's going to happen to them. We know those who will hold their zakah, or first al-mikyal, al-mizan wal-mikyal, or al-mikyal wal-mizan, those who tamper with the scale of things when they are buying and selling, okay, like al-mutaffifin, إذا اكتالوا على الناس يستوفون وإذا كالوهم أو وزنوهم يخسرون, okay. So when they are selling to people, okay, when are buying from people, then they weigh the scale so much, okay, because it is coming to them. But when they weigh or put in a volume for others, for the buyers, then they will shorten that measure and that scale. Okay, when you start doing this, okay, أخذهم الله بالسنين, Allah will take them with famine. Allah will take them with famine, meaning that the sustenance will be less. وجور السلطان, and the sultan upon them, the ruler upon them, will be unjust. So you know the unjust ruler is a hukm for those who are measuring in unjust measure, in buying and selling. Okay? And that lack and the scarcity of sustenance is because of such action. The zakah, when you stop giving zakah, or do not give the zakah in the proper way, the hukm of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yamna'u al-qatru min as-sama', that Allah yamna'u al-qatra min as-sama', Allah will stop the skies from raining. Okay, walawla al-baha'im, if it is not for the baha'im, the cattle, no rain would come down. So some rain would come down because of others, not because of human being. Because of the sustenance of others, not because of the human being. Okay. Now the one that is so prevalent now all over the Muslim world, the hukm of those who cut the covenant between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and between them and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَنْقُدُونَ مِثَاقَ اللَّهِ وَمِثَاقَ رَسُولِهِ. Okay? الَّذِينَ يَنْقُدُونَ مِثَاقَ اللَّهِ وَمِثَاقَ رَسُولِهِ. Those who break the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. What is the hukm on those? يُصَلِّتُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًا مِنْ غَيْرِهِمْ. Allah will have an enemy from outside of them, will be upon them. يَأْخُذُ مِمَّا فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ أَوْ يَأْخُذُ بَعْضَ الَّذِي فِي أَيْدِيهِمْ. He will take some of that which they have in their hand. Isn't this what's happening to us in the world today? All the Muslim world, all the resources are being taken by someone that is not from them, from outside of them. That is the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? It is because we have cut the relationship and the covenant that we had, that we have with Allah and the one we have with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, and we cannot go back. Okay, these resources will not come back to us unless we go back to Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, because that is the hukm. Again, you take this in the measure of the measure. Which is, insan is in ahsan taqweem, and then becomes asfal safilin. We are now going back and forth in this. Okay? And we're going in the general measure. That is, man ittaba'a hudaya, la yadullu wa la yashqa, and then the one who takes the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not go astray, will not have difficulties. And man arad an dhikri, those who stay away from my remembrance and my mention, فَإِنَّ لَهُمْ عَيْشَةً ضَنْكَ. He will have a living that is miserable. That is a detail of it. This is what we're saying now, is the detail of it. Okay? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us about the hukm of Allah. Okay? Now the hukm of Allah. What is the penalty for those who do not make judgment with the judgment of Allah, the hukm of Allah? What is the hukm for them? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about the ones that when they have their imams, meaning their leaders, لا يحكمون بكتاب الله, they do not make judgment, okay, with the book of Allah, according to the book of Allah. What happens? Now the animosity is not from outside. The animosity is from within. Then you will have animosity between one another. Then you'll have animosity between one another. Then you'll have argument and hatred between one another. So when you see the Muslimin, there is animosity among them. There is hatred created among them. You know that is hukmullah upon them. Why? Because they left hukm Allah. They left the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They left also the judgment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are very basic and very clear ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. That is, to us, if we do not, you know, others look at this and say, you know why is this happening? You know why, and wise people and analysts will come around and tell you, why is this happening, why is that happening, and so forth, and use fancy words and so forth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very clear to us. Okay? The one with the most of knowledge, the one who al-hakim, the most wise, the one who is the most just, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who gives you this, tell you, when he sees his symptoms, that is the disease. It is clear. And what is the disease? What is the cure for the disease? is you take that cure within the defect of the disease itself. So when you know there is animosity among you, you know that you're not making hukm with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Quran. So therefore, go to the Quran and make hukm with it, then the animosity will go away. Okay? When you know there is lack of rain, you know that zakah is not coming out, so give the zakah and that the rain will come. When you know that your enemy is upon you, so what do you need to do? Yes. At least we have one brother awake. No. Yes, go back to the covenant that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? So, and we always talk about this point. One of the beautiful points and beautiful qualities of the companions was what? That they signed that covenant, this contract, before the contract was written. Okay? They signed the contract before it was written. Okay? They knew the quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They knew that he was a Sadiq al-Amin. They believed in that he is a messenger of Allah. And they know so little about the Quran. Because there was not much of the Quran to begin with, right? So what happens? They came to Islam and signed that contract. And that's it. A blank. They signed a blank contract. Okay? That is so powerful. So powerful. They're saying, ahead of time we agree with anything that you say, Ya Rasulullah, and anything that comes from Allah, we are ahead of time agreeing with it, just let us know what to do. Fill the contract for us, Ya Rasulullah. And the Quran is full with that. The Quran is full with their asking to fill the contract. Remember? Yas'alunaka. When you hear the word yas'alunaka, they ask you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, tell them. So Allah says, they ask you about an issue, and tell them here is about that issue. What does that mean? That means looking forward to fill that contract. So they come to run into Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they ask the question. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives them the answer. Allah gives them the answer. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. They ask you what to spend. Right? What kind of question is that? They ask you what to spend. Well, spend it from your wealth, right? So how did Allah answer it? Allah answered it by telling them whom to spend on. Whom to spend on? لِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ وَالْيَتَامَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. For the parents and those who are near, and yatama, orphans, and those who are masakin, the poor, and so forth. So Allah is answering, you know, a different question. Not whom does it go to, not whom does it go to, not what to spend from. And then, just a page later in Surah Al-Baqarah, right? They said the same thing. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ. They ask you what to spend. You understand that? They keep asking and they want more. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah says, قُلِ الْعَفْ. Say, spend from al-af. What is al-af? More than what you need. The extra. Spend the extra that you have. Okay? يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَزِنْ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ. The spoils of war, what to do with it. Okay? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually in Surah Al-Anfal, tell them how to divide it. Okay? يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ. They ask you about the crescents. Okay? قُلْ هِيَ مَوَقِيتُ لِلْحَجِ مَوَقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِ. It is time for people to work with time and for Hajj, meaning to know the times of Hajj and so forth. So, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ. They ask you about the woman's menses. It became to in that details. قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى. Say that is harm. فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. Stay away from women at that time. Okay? Here is the beauty of this. Okay? That they sign in a contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is blank, and they are running, wishing to fill this, for this contract to be filled, so they could. be in the pleasure of the obedience of Allah and following the steps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? So such people, Allah will not allow their enemy to be above them. Okay? Allah will not allow the enemy to take from them, from what they had in their hand. And that did not happen. And we know for sure that that did not happen, because that is hukm Allah with such people. Okay? But with us, it is the other way around. We cut that relationship. We're not even making an effort to find out what this covenant is. We're not even making an effort to find what this path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. I'm talking generally about the Muslim ummah. Okay? The very lack of knowledge. Okay? And we're trying to fix the ummah by doing, you know, taking the means some other ways, which is all ways that is halal is good, and take the means to fix things. But we have to go back to the disease. If we keep, you know, reaching, you know, if you know your enemy is upon you and take it from you, and then you say, okay, let us get some most, you know, people who are smart, people who are wise and this and that, let's find out what we're going to do with this. And they make the judgment of, you know, let us deal with the enemy here and see, maybe we'll have some kind of agreement, this and that, maybe we'll, and take all kind of means. Okay? That is not going to work. Unless, first, you go back to the covenant that you have with Allah and His Messenger. That's it. Okay? If this gap is there, and you know it is there, that is a disease. And what is the symptom of this disease? That the enemy is taken from you and is above you. And the enemy that's from outside of you. So what do you need to do? Now, that does not need someone who is very high, has very high intellect or low intellect. It does not matter. It needs someone who has what? Knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah to give you the cure. The doctor, okay, at this point, needs to be someone with knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah. Okay? And then, you know, help you to do whatever you do. And now you can fix this and go on with your talent as well that Allah has given you. With your talent, whatever field that you have. Yes, and this will work then. This will work then. Okay? But those who go forward to fix these things, okay, they are not filling this gap first. We're telling them that your work is in vain. Your work is in vain. How? You cannot be a social political group with religious tendencies. You'll never work. You have to be a religious group with social political tendencies. And what a big of a difference this is. Okay? Because when you say you're a religious group, now you're saying that comes first of knowledge. Now you want to work in politics, you want to work in social work and so forth, now that's going to work. But you go into this field without having the knowledge and being truly, you know, seeking that knowledge, this is not going to work out. Okay? So, both has to be there. Both has to be there. That you do work in all the fields, but you must have the knowledge to have how to do that work and be able to go to the disease and or the symptoms and diagnose what's going on according to the Quran and Sunnah. And then fix it. Go ahead now, fix it. By fixing that, doing the opposite. Okay? By having the covenant back with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, this is like Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah, he gave that example. Okay? He said that when something is happening to you, The first thing that you should do is find out your relationship with Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Okay? So if there is shortcomings there, then fix that and then look at what's happening to you. If it changes, you know that that was what you needed to do and that's it. But if you go back to Allah and His Messenger and then there are things that are not quite, you know, working yet, okay, then you go ahead and take the means. Now your relationship with Allah and His Messenger is sound. Now when you are such a person, go take the means. But the means now goes under two categories. There is a mean that could have been, or maybe it was available at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he did not use it at all. That means you should not, that particular means, don't touch it. Okay? Because it was available at the time of Rasulullah, he did not use it. And the second possibility, that a means that Rasulullah took, or it was not available at the time of Rasulullah at all. So now you look at this now and measure it and see how to minimize the harm and benefit and maximize the benefit by the knowledgeable ulama and so forth to go into this field. But to jump out of all of this without taking any steps at all and jump right into, you know, let us find out how we're going to do this without going to the manual that we have of the hukm of Allah on people with that kind of a disease. Allah will tell you, this is my hukm here. So you have to investigate that hukm first. And you have to find out in details how to bring the cure. What is the prescription that Allah wrote? What is the prescription that Rasulullah ﷺ wrote? So to the point that we know the companions would go in so much details in this matter. So much details that in one battle, I don't know the authenticity of this. I'm not sure about the authenticity of this story, but it is goes that the victory of Allah was not there yet, and they did all they could, and they were wondering now, okay, let's change the tactic, do this and that. But someone said, "Wait a minute! First, before we change the tactic and took the means like that, we have to find out to go back, find out what is it that we lack in following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and following the Quran." So one came up with an idea and says that we have not been making siwak. Okay, we do not have siwaks, and we have not been, not many of us do so. Okay, so they came to the trees and cut pieces of wood, and they gave, and the whole army was sitting making siwak. Okay, so the enemy was looking at them, and they put Allah put fear in the heart of the enemy. Allah put the fear in the, when they looked at them and see all these people holding sticks and sharpening their teeth. They say, "What are these people doing? Okay, are they don't they have any more supplies? And this is, they ready to take our flesh as food tomorrow?" Okay, but the point being is, the companions will go to these much details. Okay, and we cannot belittle these details. We cannot say it is so, you know, come on, let us look at the bigger picture and so forth. No, we do both. We do at the very detail of the picture, and we look at the bigger picture as well. We look at the means that in so little things and the means in so big things. Because this is how Rasulullah ﷺ taught us. Because this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us. Okay? That this is, you need to follow the little steps, the little commands, as well as the huge ones. Because both of them are the commands of Allah, and both of them are the sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because when you leave the little one commands that you think is insignificant and go to the one that you think significant, what you're saying is that the means will bring you the results. Right? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the results. You take the means, yes, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the results. So the one who thinks this way will not let go of the details that are small. Why? Because it is not the command itself, it is the commander, the one who's commanding. So you're saying, if Allah said that, I want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the pleasure of Allah will bring me victory. Okay? That's a whole different state of mind. A state of mind, a person that takes the means, thinks the means will give them, or a state of mind, a person that taking the means to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do their best, and Allah will give them. So they do the little things, and they do the major things, and they do not cut relationship between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the relationship with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, as believers, what is our role in this now when you're making a hukm? You have to have knowledge before you make hukm. You have to investigate before you make judgment. You have to be scared when you're making a judgment. As one of the judges, it was said about him that As he was sitting at home, the door knocked, the servant opened the door, and then brought a dish of ripe dates. And the date was the season just started. And he loved it so much. So that was like, you know, this is something that he has been waiting for a year for it, and it is for the first time this year, for this season, to see it. So he asked, who brought it? So the servant described the person. So he knew that this person is one of the people that came to his court in a case. So he said, take it back to him. Take it back to him. I'm not taking it. So he gave it back. Then he asked to be relieved from this case when he went to court. And his superiors asked him, why? He said, because such and such things happened. So they told him, well, but you did not take it. So you did not take this bribe, if you will.